if there are any nominations from the members. Mamusoledi?
I nominate Mr. J.L. Mahlangu.
Thank you very much, Mama Ntoledi. Another nomination, Dr. Khoibom. Dr. Khoibom? I second that. Thank you, Dr. Khoibom.
I second the motion.
Thank you very much, Dr. Khoibom. Are there any other nominations? In the absence of none, Tatu Mahlangu, maybe not nominated. Thank you.
Colleagues, good morning. Perhaps just for record, we must indicate that the chairperson is not well. She was consulting yesterday. Actually, she was expecting that she may be booked off for a month, but at least luckily she will take an early flight this morning and come over. And we wish her well. And as mentioned in the other meeting, the member, Hulane Mukhotsi, underwent an operation, so she's still recovering. And perhaps for the good of the meeting, this portfolio is blessed with a baby child from our researcher, baby boy, and I think it's just fair that we should convey our congratulations and well wishes for the child and the mother, and hope that she'll be back with us in time. And and we will be celebrating a wedding of one of the members, as mentioned in the last meeting. So many good things are happening in the community. Thank you, colleagues. We basically will be dealing with, as Jabu has mentioned, and apologies for the change of venue to all of ourselves. We knew that we were going to be in venue 315, but only this morning we were told that we are here. I don't know what happened, but I guess we are here, and let's just try and make sure that everyone who's supposed to be here is coming to the right venue. The main matter that we are supposed to be dealing with here today, and I want to commit it to the members, is the BR, that report which had been circulated for quite some time, and the forensic report that we will be receiving. But at this point in time, in welcoming all of the members and those members that have come to relieve the members that are not here, as well as the department and other officials, can we take apologies, sir?
Thank you, Dr. Mahlangu. We've received an apology from the chairperson, as Dr. Mahlangu mentioned, who's not well. We've also received an apology from Dr. Makondo. He is writing exams today. We've also received an apology from Mam Mokhotsi. He's extending apology up until the 12th of November. We've also received an apology from Mr. Moteka. He is in another committee meeting today. And we have another apology from Mr. Rabotapi. He is unable to attend this meeting today. And we have a standing apology from Mr. Isai.
Colleagues, can we note the apologies? Thank you. Chabu, I think we also must consider at least a letter of well wishes for Mama Omohotsi for her absence here. Good. We will then take the first report. It has been circulated to us, I think, last week. Members have gone through it. Can we take page one? I put to you page number two. Page. Yes, sir? Yes. The BB, yes. Actually, because you've gone through it, I may just waste time going through the pages, only to find that members have got no issues. Can I put the report to the committee? Any area that members would like to raise? Dr. Are you fine with it? Dr. Khwegwa?
Yes, Chair. The areas that, the thing that I would like to raise in terms of this report is on page 5, we have a summary of previous key financial performance recommendations of the committee. That is being, I just hope I'm not talking cross purposes here. The 2015 recommendations. Now, right through this report, I did not pick up any indication that these recommendations were adhered to or taken into serious consideration. That's the first thing. The second thing about the report is if I look at the recommendations for 2016, those recommendations are focusing on compliance issues of treasuries and the key imperatives of oversight of DAC as the oversight agency within its own entities, and our inputs. Also, these recommendations that is being put forward currently by the committee is are basic issues that DAC itself had to see through these past years. In terms of the audit committee chairs, the independence of the audit internal audit committees, then the benchmark in respect of personnel, the vacancy rate within entities, whereas DAC is also in dereliction of duty because it still has a vacancy in terms of its CEO, and I can go along with this on in this line. Also, again, the it is difficult for us really to if we look at the 98% in terms of budget expenditure, if you contrast it to the 67% of the achievement of predetermined objectives. There is no, I don't know if you talk about value for money and how these two can be weighed against each other. We, right through the previous report, we have also said, listen here, we need to act in terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure and the irregular expenditure. But now, the internal audit committees itself have identified officials who have been possibilities of corruption. Now, DAC itself has never reported on any of that and any measures or steps taken in that regard. In the previous 2015 report, it was clearly stated that DAC should assist the entities with respect to the implementation of GRAP 103, but we have found nothing in that regard happening. Also, so all in all, what I'm saying is that the recommendations put forward give the indication by implication that the only problem that is within entities is the fact that it's got financial irregularities or financial reporting by implication. So it does not speak to the management issues within entities, within DAC, and the addressing of that. So nothing this report really speaks to the key issues of management, ultimately with non-compliance with the fundamental adherence to policy and service delivery.
Honourable member, do you what do you recommend we should do? Could you put a recommendation, perhaps, so that we can look at what you are proposing that we do? The 2015 matter, which you have spoken to, I guess those are the things that we should have dealt with. If there are gaps, and I think there's, if we need to put them on our radar screen as we normally do, because that's what we've been doing over the year, that every matter that has not been resolved, we put it, it remains a matter on our radar screen and we deal with it. But if there are matters that are outstanding, I think there's nothing stopping us, because it's our responsibility, it's our oversight responsibility if nothing had been adhered to. But with regards to the current recommendations, do you have any recommendation that you'd like us to include over and above those that are here? But whilst you are perhaps thinking about it, with regards to Graph 103, I think we need a thoroughgoing discussion. And we have resolved, and I know that when we spoke in the committee then, we said we needed to have a meeting between ourselves as a committee, the Treasury, DAC, and other committees. But earlier before this meeting, whilst we were in 315, we actually had a discussion with Member Khwetpo, and it's a worrying factor. And I don't know as a country whether we are really willing to implement Section 103, and then Graph 103. Because if we implement Graph 103, we will have to ask the military to go and guard our museums. We will need extra security, which the state is unlikely to provide, and therefore create opportunities for private security to safeguard our museums at a high cost. But also a danger that some of those items that we are trying to protect could be duplicated overnight, similar things being put there, and the real things leaving to Europe. Because what we have seen happening in the past is that those patriotic citizens of the world would find some of our items in auctions in Europe. And I don't know why they all go to Europe. Buy them and repatriate them back to the country. Now, it's a huge, huge problem. I guess as lawmakers, we need to have a thoroughgoing discussion about this Grab 103. Because it's a good thing. Because, indeed, some of your audit is understated. But where we derive value, it's a problem, the first thing. But the second thing, it is a moving target. Every item that you have could be available in the market for 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 rand. The day you die, it shoots to millions. And therefore, your outcome is already affected. But yeah, it's a matter that we would want to, I can see in the recommendation, they just said the department must, the accounting officer should consult National Treasury, because it's an executive responsibility. We don't come in as the legislature in a way, because we are not executing authorities. But I think between ourselves as members of parliament, we need to discuss this matter thoroughly, and see, and then get the best practice elsewhere in the world where Graph 103 is employed, with our economy at the state at which it is, it will be a nice job creation, but it's a risk. It's more of a risky thing than anything. It is a risk now, it will be a risk more going forward. But yeah, I was just speaking to the Graph 103, but I wanted to, at the time, well, I mean, I was hoping that Member Grootboom would be thinking about how, what recommendation on administration that he would bring. The issue of the DG, I think we've raised it. I think I did see it somewhere. Is it not there? Oh, yeah, it's bullet number one. It is here. Any other administrative issue that Member Grootboom would like us to include, I think we can put that there. You can make that suggestion.
Thank you, Jim. One of the issues that's of importance, I think, is the management issues within entities. I think we have, it's not in our recommendations here. This refers to the vacancy rate within entities and within DAC itself. That's one. The quality of management that's being appointed. Secondly,
the quality of individuals. Okay.
Yeah, management. Yeah, and then thirdly, to the issues of compliance with act on financial misconduct itself. What are the what strategies?
Consequence
management is what I'm
okay.
Talking.
And invoking of consequence management. I think colleagues, does anyone have a problem with those recommendations? No objection. Chabu, will you include those two important points as part of our recommendation that we expect consequence management in all the entities, including DAC, where irregularities have occurred, as well as the filling of the vacant post, both in DAC especially strategic management positions in entities. Any other matter that members would like to raise? In the absence of any, shall we then, with those recommendations, adopt the report? The report is accordingly adopted. And I must appreciate, because of the absence of members, we had other members who came in, others, I think, to rush out to their meetings, and I saw that others have just come in to make sure that we don't lapse in taking that decision. And I think the important decision has been concluded where we needed the quorum. And I hope that everyone has signed, Shabu. otherwise, we may have a legal challenge. There were members that were here earlier, and I think they have left. And they would like to welcome the members that are here. Yeah. We are then. Shabu, yeah, you'll have to help member Kekanane. We will proceed with item number 3. Who is responsible?
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. The presentation on the forensic investigation by SARA will be presented. I'm here with the chairperson of SARA and also the CEO of SARA. So the CEO will do the presentation.
Can we then allow for the introductions, perhaps, of the team, Madam?
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. Good morning. My name is Veni Swabaduza. I am the Chief Executive Officer of the South African Heritage Resources Agency, having been appointed on the 1st of February last year. Chair and honorable members, since we came last year in August to present the report, the honorable chairperson will recall, and members, that we presented the draft report and we were requested to go back and make sure that the investigators or the auditors finalize the report so that we can present to the committee a conclusive report. That has since taken place, and in October last year, UBEC, which is the company that was appointed to conduct the forensic investigation, provided the council with a report. The report then was duly submitted in February this year, Chairperson, by our Chairperson to the committee through the Chairperson. And also, Chairperson, since that time, the council, which is the accounting authority of SARA, has the previous council's term of office came to an end in July. Mm-hmm. So with effect from 1st of August 2016, we have a new council, Chairperson, and that new council is now chaired by Professor Bulon, who will introduce herself. So we've got a new council now, Chairperson, and a new Chairperson that has been appointed. So I just had to wait to make those introductory remarks before, with your permission, before everybody introduces themselves. Thank you, Chair.
You're on the floor, madam. You can introduce your whole delegation.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Susan Bulon. I'm the new Chairperson for the South African Heritage Resource Agency. With me, I have the CEO, who just introduced herself. Then I have the CFO, and we also have Mr. Sibai, who is our Heritage Manager. And we will ask our CFO and legal, sorry, my apologies, our legal person and the company secretary is with us as well. Chair, with your permission, we make a presentation.
I thought the two gentlemen are waiting.
No.
Are they in the wrong room?
Sorry, Honourable Chair, we are near the legal team, and I think that they were trying to stand there on the edge floor.
Apologies, you know, this apologies for that. I don't know what happened, but I think people are in wrong places, but it's fine. We're enjoying your company anyway. Okay, fine. Perhaps for the benefit of the Chairperson and the team, those that are coming here for the first time, perhaps we should do the introductions as portfolio members. My name is Jabu Mahlangu. I'm not the Chairperson, I'm just acting today. The chair is on her way. She wasn't very well. And I'm going to request members to introduce themselves.
Honorable Fuleni, a member of the committee. Thank you. Good morning. I'm Ken Sant, a member of the committee.
I'm Peter Mulder, member of the committee.
Alan Grootboom, member of the committee.
I've got Jabu here. I'm Jabu, she's Jabu, but she's the committee's secretary. and like I said, the chair and the two other members are, this chair is on her way, she wasn't well, the other members is underwent surgery and off until the 12th. The other one, we're trying to be educated. So he's writing his exam. Actually, he was writing yesterday. He's taking an early flight. The earliest flight from Limpopo is 8 o'clock. And then connecting to Cape Town, he'll possibly be here in the afternoon. We do encourage members to study. So, yeah. No, thank you. you can proceed, Madam, with your report.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Catherine Musisi. I am the Chief Financial Officer. I will be presenting the report.
There's a gentleman at the end of the table we did not introduce.
I'm Malato Mle for communication support for the committee.
Thank you. And the lady at the back, where is the
PMG.
Thank you.
Chair and honourable members, The purpose of this presentation is to present to the Portfolio Committee the final report of the forensic investigations that were concluded by the appointed investigator, UBEC, on the Heritage Foundation partnership with SARA. On this slide, we are just trying to alert the members to the prescripts in our Act that allows us to take responsibility on concentration camps. In terms of Section 36 of the National Heritage Resources Act, where it is not the responsibility of any other authority, SARA must conserve and generally care for burial grounds and graves protected in terms of this section, and it may make such arrangements for their conservation as it sees fit. SARA must identify and record the graves of victims of conflict and any other graves which it deems to be of cultural significance, and may erect memorials associated with the referred subsection 1, and must maintain such memorials. In terms of the background, UBEC was appointed by SARA to conduct a forensic investigation into funds allocated to the Heritage Foundation for the period 2011-2013. The Heritage Foundation is a duly registered incorporated Section 21 company, its main object being the conservation of heritage resources, which are an important chapter of the South African history. Funds totaling 2.2 million were transferred from SARA to the Heritage Foundation for the restoration, conservation and management of identified burial sites and memorials. With the investigation that was triggered by the issue around the black camps that were not rehabilitated during the period of the MOU, we then developed the scope of work that we expected UBEC to do, which included to conduct a review of the respective MOU which was entered into between SARA and the Heritage Foundation, investigate any irregularities identified with regards to the restoration and conservation management, determine if there was any preferences and or segregation in respect of work undertaken by the Heritage Foundation, reconcile and review all payments made to the Heritage Foundation, request and review the statements of income and expenditure for the respective related years, request and review the breakdown of expenditure, identify and investigate any irregularities in terms of the statement of income and expenditure, determine ownership of sites and investigate any irregularities, conduct interviews where necessary with relevant stakeholders at SARA and the Heritage Foundation. This was the scope of work that was given to the investigators around the MOU that was entered into. Now, in terms of the investigation that was done, the summary of findings that were included in the report were that the former CEO, Mrs. Sibongile Van Dam, had exercised her delegation of authority in concluding the MOU. One of the issues there was to check if the MOU was properly entered into, and the report found that she did exercise her delegation. The MOU did not make provisions for the following: duration of the MOU, budget provisions, project specifics, and any addendums to the scope of the work. The MOU was not concluded in the best interest of SARA as relevant information and clauses were omitted. These are the findings on the MOU itself. Now, in terms of the recommendations from UBEC was that in future all contracts entered into between SARA and respective parties are vetted by SARA's internal legal division or an external legal service provider to ensure that all interests of SARA are protected within the MOU. And also SARA ensures strict compliance and adherence to governance and delegation of authority in terms of the PFMA. The forensic conclusion on this report was that the former CEO, Ms. Van Damme, was authorized to conclude the MOU. The omission by SARA to ensure that the MOU included specific provisions with regards to budget, duration, project specifics, and addendum has disadvantaged SARA's rights to dispute any of the expenditure incurred by the foundation. The Heritage Foundation had latitude to act at their own discretion and had unconditional authority over the MOU. SARA accepts liability for the MOU that was entered into between the respective parties and consider this matter because the contract was closed at the point of conducting this investigation finalized. Review of payments. The investigators looked at the income statement and the expenditure of the Heritage Foundation. The following payments were made. In May, $750,000 was paid. It was authorized by the former CEO. November 2012, $750,000, another tranche was made. It was authorized by the new acting former CEO at the time. And in May 2013, $750,000 was also released. It was after the third tranche where the former CEO, acting CEO, Mrs. Mabato Ramakgoshi, then commissioned this investigation, and no further payments were made. In concluding the payments, there is no evidence which suggests any irregularities with payments made by SARA to the Heritage Foundation. All payments were duly authorized by the former CEO and the former acting CEO, and all the requests for payments were supported by financial reports from the Heritage Foundation. This is just a breakdown of the income and expenditure report that was provided by the Heritage Foundation to SARA before any tranche could be released. Conclusion on project management and expenditure. The report reflected that SARA had an obligation to provide continuous monitoring of the utilization of funds by the Heritage Foundation and determine value for money. The summary of expenditure provided by the Heritage Foundation be accepted as a true reflection of expenditure incurred for the respective years. There is no evidence which suggests that SARA had suffered a financial prejudice by entering into the MOU between the respective parties, as proof of work undertaken by the Heritage Foundation was made available to SARA. Recommendation on project management and expenditure monitoring. The report made recommendations. SARA ensures that with regards to all future projects, a suitably qualified project manager is appointed to manage and control the implementation of financial resources of SARA. The delegation of authority framework must ensure that the designated official is held accountable for the administration and management of projects delegated. The second thing that they had to do was also the review of black camps on the heritage site, as one of the triggers of this investigation was the fact that the Heritage Foundation only focused on the white concentration camps at the exclusion of black concentration camps. The former acting CEO was of the view that no black concentration camps or sites were identified in the MOU. Paragraph 3.1 of the MOU states that the aim of this document is to bring an understanding of the agreement for the conservation and management of mutually agreed white and black concentration camps, prisoner of war graves abroad, graves and cemeteries, including the Beggar Grave. The list of projects submitted in the email dated 14 January 2011 did not make provision for any black concentration camp or heritage sites. That was an email which listed the projects that Heritage Foundation needed to concentrate on. The MOU only provided in the broadest sense of the word for the conservation and management of mutually agreed white and black concentration camps, prisoner of war graves. It was not specific. Nowhere in the MOU is there any mention whatsoever of any site or burial site name. In a written submission made to SARA by General Opperman, stated the following. This was done during interviews with him because the investigators had to interview SARA and also interview the Heritage Foundation. It was virtually impossible to determine the exact location of the vast majority of black concentration camps. This prompted the Heritage Foundation to embark on an exhaustive research into the subject, the results of which were given to SARA.
gratia after the decision was announced not to extend the MOU beyond 31st March 2014. The Heritage Foundation, in the course of its own research, succeeded to pinpoint the exact locations of the following black concentration camps, cemeteries, and graves, and did effect repairs at some of the sites. Here is all the sites that had black concentration camps, which Opperman researched and also did some of the work there. It's the Doornbelt Orange River Station in the Northern Cape. We have the Krugersdorp in Gauteng, Balmoral in Mpumalanga, Allen, also known as Brandfort, in the Free State, Aliwal North in the Eastern Cape, Heidelberg, Gauteng, Klerksdorp in the Northwest Province. In conclusion, the Heritage Foundation did take steps to address the black concentration camp cemeteries and graves. The expenditure incurred may be regarded as minimal compared to that incurred for the white camp cemetery. The SARA officials responsible for the management of this project should have ensured that the Heritage Foundation was assisted with this process of identification of black camp cemeteries and graves and implemented a plan of action to address this matter adequately. SARA must accept responsibility as continuous cooperation and monitoring with the Heritage Foundation would have produced favorable results to the benefit of the restoration and preservation of black camps, cemeteries, and graves. The conclusion further states that no corrective action may be constituted against the former CEO, Mrs. Van Damme, the former acting CEO, Mrs. Ramakgoshi, and the former burial grounds and graves, Mr. Philly, as they are no longer in the employ of SARA. While some of the internal control recommendations have already been addressed, we are enjoined by the NARA to continue with the rehabilitation and maintenance of these historic camps. We have already embarked on a process of conducting condition assessments of some of the camps. Today, Chair, we can report that almost four provinces have been covered: Northwest, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, and the Free State. Some of the assessments have been completed. They are all in the nine provinces. We are using our internal staff to do the assessments so that we can put in place a better action plan on how to preserve and conserve these graves. The challenge with black concentration camps is largely their location. Because they were not marked, fenced off, or historically preserved, they are hard to identify unless some marker was put, such as in Klerksdorp. If just that the picture, Chair, is a bit blurry, but when you look at the picture, there's a small pole there. It would seem there was a fence at some point when this concentration camp was still perfect, but now the fence and everything is not there anymore. Among concentration camps visited are Middelburg, Volksrest Town Hall Memorial, Barberton Concentration Camp, Dalsrum Concentration Camp, Standerton. In the northwest, we have already done Freiberg, Mahikeng Klerksdorp, and Potchefstroom. In Gauteng, we have done Irene. We are also working on a strategy to implement sustainable conservation of all these camps. Chair, we are mindful of the limited budget that we have as an entity to restore all the black concentration camps that we have already assessed. We see this as an opportunity for job creation, and we will engage strategic partners such as the private sector, Department of Defense and Military Veterans, as well as provincial heritage resources authorities and other conservation bodies in furthering this mandate. It is very clear from our side that we need to strike strong partnerships for us to be able to restore these important historical sites. Thank you.
Colleagues, that's the report. Any reflections? First, I think with regards to the forensic outcome, And then secondly, with what the department or what the entity is doing with regards to the challenges. Baba Khotwam, Mama Tsoleni, Dr. You, not today.
I'm listening.
Okay. If you're listening, so you want to respond, you must come this way.
No, I'm listening to my colleagues. Maybe they say what I would like to say.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to, I don't know if this is a terminological contradiction or not. One, that is, the findings say that there was no impropriety by the previous CEO, CFO, was the CEO, Ms. Van Damme and Ramaphosa, Mama Boto Ramaphosa. Now, that is on page 15, but then on 23, they say no corrective action may be instituted against the former two. By implication, there was impropriety. Or am I now misreading or reading something that is it's not in? That's the one thing. Secondly, which does not fall within the scope of this report, but it does speak to it, and that is, if an official has been, you know, there's an investigation, I'm being investigated, I know I'm as guilty as sin. Now I resign with all the money of the entity. Now, because I am not there anymore, does it mean that the entity cannot make a case against me?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my first point, as I was going through the documents when they were sent to us by Jabu, the first thing I wanted to have the understanding myself of the memorandum of understanding, because it was not part of the documents that were sent to us. So it's very difficult to also engage or come to a conclusion while you don't have an understanding of what was entailed in the understanding itself. Why, Chairperson, I'm saying that? Because the same point that Honorable Khrotbom is raising of the corrective measures, maybe perhaps in my analysis would have assisted me when I look at the understanding, memorandum of the understanding, because my belief is each and every entity, when you enter into an understanding, there's a legal department that advises you on how to enter in that understanding. As I'm looking through and listening to the presentation, it seems as if the person who was more at an advantage point was the receiver. The one who received money was the one who was more favored by the understanding. The person who is the payee, which is the entity, was really disadvantaged. You can't enter into an understanding and you are the one who is going to give out money and the terms favor the person who is going to implement that on your behalf. The terms should be in your favor. It can't be vice versa because you are the one who is entering on that one. But in terms of whatever that has been implemented with that 2 million, it worked on the favor of the Heritage Foundation more than on what Sarah was really expecting to be done, because 90% of the amount that has been incurred, Chairperson, is for operational, and then 10% is only for the actual work, which is not right. Which is not right. In other words, I would not want to get further, but I really need to see the memorandum of understanding so that I can engage seriously whether the understanding has been done by people who are. Because you assume, when a person is the CEO, you assume that we're talking about people who are highly educated, who understand contracts. We're not talking about people who do not understand, who do not have education in terms of entering contracts. Because this one contract, you can see, as you are going through, you can see that it's a contract that was entered to favor somebody else, not to for the institution to benefit. I wouldn't want to get to other issues because they really angered me. If the memorandum of understanding was very clear, some of the issues that happened that the Heritage Foundation did would have not been, would have not happened, but they happened because of the understanding that was signed, which really, I don't know, can we really get that chairperson? Maybe it's going to assist us to move forward. Because I believe that issue that says, the first statement that he raised that says, on page, I think it's the first page that he raised, Kelebeski page mark, that says, they were no wrong on the side of the CEO. I do not agree with that. I really do not agree with that. If there was something right that the CEO entered in, we could have not had the problem that we had at the end of the day.
Doctor?
Thank you, sir. Sorry. No, I listened to the colleagues. I think the lesson we learned from this, and it might be inexperience, I'm not sure. I think the memorandum was vague, and therefore it gave a lot of movement on the other side, and there was no control, permanent sort of oversight while the project was being done, and I think that's where the problem comes from. I don't think it came into misunderstanding. Maybe I said in the beginning that the departure was wrong. It's a second question to say if funds were misused or for whatever, and that is a serious case. So I don't see that from what I read here. I think the problem was this agreement in the beginning that wasn't clear enough, and therefore we got all these problems at the moment. If there was misappropriation, if somebody put money in his pocket, that's criminal and that's a totally different thing. And if the forensic one is correct, I don't see that. I just see maybe a bad agreement.
I'm sure the officials of the department, as well as the chair and the team from SARA, are listening, and they're taking note of the issues that members are raising, and I think when we conclude our inputs, then they will need to respond to the queries. Well, perhaps the first thing we should do is to avail to members the MOU so that members can see for themselves as to what kind of MOU was and who crafted it and why was there so many gaps, because I think when we get that MOU, it must be accompanied by those clarifications. But the other question that comes into mind, now that the issues that have been raised both by my colleagues as areas that require the clarity, is why was there a forensic audit instituted in the first place? Because you wouldn't institute a forensic if you didn't suspect that there was something. So there's something that is amiss. And who are the heritage resources? What do you call them? Yes. Who are these people that we are talking about who were doing the work on behalf of SARA? The other question, how much did you pay for the forensic? By UBAC. And then I want to dispute this thing that has been raised here, that because if a person is no more in the employ, there's nothing that can be done about it. That's not true. It's totally, totally not. I don't know, my learned friend there on the extreme end of the table there, whether she agrees with this statement to the effect that once you are out of the employ, you are as free as a bird. It can't be true. The laws of this country, the PFMA, will pick you up even if you are very far in Australia. So it's not true, and I don't know why such a irregular statement would be put to members. I will recognize you, Honorable Spokman, to be put to us who are lawmakers. We made the laws, and you are telling us that it's free for all. It can't be correct. It's totally wrong. And if you want us to show you now, it's a pity those guys that were there had to go, those two lawyers that were there. They would tell you immediately that it's not true. We've got evidence of what has happened forever. And I guess the question that Member Hootboom raised earlier on when we dealt with the former report of consequences is a matter that we may want to invoke here, because you are misleading Parliament with that kind of a statement, and we therefore will not accept the report because it's very wrong. It's very wrong. Now, there are other issues that I am personally concerned about. There is now what, obviously this report, it's not something that it was meant to deal with, but I'm happy that it has been raised, because we're going to raise it anyhow. The journey that Sarah is embarking upon, which was kickstarted by this attempt to identify the people or black people who perished in the concentration camps. It is disappointing that not sufficient has been done. And the Department of Arts and Culture need to give this thing serious attention. Very, very serious attention. I think we had raised this thing ever since 2014. And I know me and the member, Miller, we had nice, not bad, not in a bad way, but we had really serious discussions and arguments around the matter. And therefore the history that was deliberately depleted by those who took those decisions needs to be corrected by the current. And perhaps just to not to belabor this meeting with what we were fighting about, me and Honorable Miller, there are other aspects that he had raised, for instance, of inequities in terms of recognition. And he argues, for instance, around the Nelson Mandela statue, and he always argue about this matter in committee, even in parliament, to the effect that people with a similar profile had not been given similar recognition. And I can't agree more with his assertion. Now, we know now that, it has always been known that they were in the camps where the Afrikaner perished. A lot of black women and child all of perished in those camps. But the powers that were disregarded that, and I think we cannot continue to undermine the situation. And if there is a need for resources to be made available, which I think there is, Chairperson, it's a matter that must remain on your radar screen, because it is a sore point. very sore point for us as members. And that matter must be resolved, and I think Sarah must approach the department, even including the minister himself, to raise that matter, because I don't think justice has been done. We obviously will raise the matter when we present our report to Parliament on this specific matter, because we have to finally table a report. And as part of tabling that report, we will raise this issue of the failure to adequately recognize blacks who perished, black women and children who perished in the concentration camps. But I think we will need to have a thoroughgoing discussion, even in the present day, because here I could see that the intention was to present a forensic, but you raise a very important thing that we were very passionate and emotional about it. I think it is fair that we get to know as to how you think this matter needs to be taken forward and what does it take to bring this thing to closure and that adequate recognition. I mean, for instance, when you showed us that thing on page 25, it's good that you're presenting it. So we have a responsibility to ensure that there, where you said there's a pole there, and I can see there are many roads, gravel roads that are trampling on that space. So we need to make sure that those things are adequately dealt, preserved, and what it is. You have a legal responsibility to do the preservation. And just, Mina, when I saw, and you raised it, I saw that pole, and I said, but the worst thing are these footprints of vehicles, which is something that yourselves should actually be, even whilst the matter has not been resolved, find a way of encamping that thing, because these things can invoke revolts. That black life is nothing. If it was a white grave, it would not. So let's just be sensitive about these things, because this country has got a bad and a very bad past, and we must make sure that we preserve what we can salvage and preserve what we can to make sure that the future generations would understand that during our tenure, we tried our best to protect their image. And because these things can be very emotional. I mean, if we can open a matter here, you will see, Member Melda can turn purple now if there's a matter that goes off tandem. And I guess, because I can't change this color. It's easy for you to change. Mina, mine doesn't change, you know, because it's black. Black can't change a lot. So, but I'm saying there are emotions in these things, and I think Sarah must do what it can to make sure that those matters are adequately dealt with. I'm not abusing my position as chair, Doc, but I'm just making an example. We are beautiful friends. Doctor, the other doctor, first. Okay, if doctors allow the.
No, I just want to add on. I don't want to react. I don't disagree with you. I think what's important, and I'm not sure if I can invite the committee, but I did it in the past, to visit the Anglo-Boer War Memorial, the museum, and the site in Bloemfontein. I don't know if I've been there quite often, and I've visited a lot of the concentration camps, and they did a lot of research the last 10, 15 years on the black camps, and there's even publications now coming out on those concentration camps. So it may be good to visit that and to see more or less what's been done up to now, and then to add on from there. And so I think the acknowledgement is coming in at the moment. You must remember, in the war, black people fight on both sides. And most of those black people were those that worked with the part of the Boer side. And they were put in the concentration camps. Of course, they went with the people where they worked for the Methodists, like that. So it is important for all of us. There's even a small monument built now there for some of them. So maybe one day we oversight can go there and get the impression of exactly what's happening there. And then the department can give some help, maybe some financial help, because you can see the problem here is to identify them and to rectify what is left at the moment. That's a difficult one.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just, I don't want to take us back. I just needed to go again to get a clear understanding. I've listened especially to what Ms. Soledi said. One was, if you see in terms of the mandate of SARA, was that there was no, I think Honorable Mulder did mention it, it was a badly written MOU. Because of the fact it is stated clearly to identify or to find graves, black and white graves, then you find the findings at the former act, the finding was saying no black concentration campsite were identified where the MOU was signed, was entered into. Of course there were none, because you need to find them. You understand? So they, again a contradiction. And then whereas the extract they had on page 17 say as if these things were already named. However, I is one part of the report, just to end here, is that the recommendation, the last one, should be scrapped. No corrective action may be instituted against the or the reading of it against the former CEO Van Damme and so on and so on, as they are no longer in the employment of SARA. What I ended with of previously was a little tongue-in-cheek, but this is what it says by implication. If I'm no longer there, you can't have anything to do with me. I'm gone. I've got nothing to do with you. And this sentence is incorrect and should not really be featuring here.
What Nadia Fredbom just said reminded me that I wanted to say the sentence is mischievous, but apparently when you use that, I use that term in one of a portfolio committee meeting. And it was really interesting, because now other members viewed that when you say the statement is mischievous, they viewed it as not parliamentary.
Unparliamentary.
So it's like you saying the person is mischievous, he's not reading the statement that you are saying. That was just on a lighter note. And that day, Mulder had just read my mind, because when they were, I was just thinking about the Bloemfontein one. My question was, who does the restoration there? Because what I've seen there, there is no color. It doesn't see any color that this is a black and white. It's such a very beautiful project that is done there. I visit it often. Most of our African people who died, who perished in those concentration camps, their names are appearing. The project is not yet finished, but it's a very beautiful project that is being done there. So that just triggered me. I had a question that I wonder who is doing that one in Bloemfontein, while in other areas it seems as if there is no uniformity or there's no working together, because the work that is being done in that area, Honorable Mahlangwa, I think really we need all of us to go there, because it's even attracting, it's not even mentioned here that it's attracting more and more visitors that are coming to Bloemfontein. More and more people are visiting. It's very accessible to everybody, even the public, everybody. You wouldn't pass the place not seeing people getting in, having an interest of what is happening, because whoever is doing that there, he has marketed it, it's getting attention within Free State and outside Free State. My question is, who is doing that good work? The person, whoever, or the company, whoever is doing the good work there, it's people that they should be benchmarking with. I don't know who does that, but the person is really doing the good work.
I think because the committee will be going to PACOFS sometime in future, perhaps we may want to pay a visit there, so that after that one, you can go to the one of Mpumalanga, at Balmoral. If you will ever be allowed access, you'll be lucky. Because I tried to go there and I was told in no uncertain terms, no blacks allowed here. Yeah. It's under. Okay, it's over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chair, I'd like to start with what Honorable Member Soledi has said around the experience in Bloemfontein, and also Honorable Member Dr. Mulder. It just reinforces what the role of heritage and how heritage can play a significant role with regards to nation building and social cohesion. We were talking about it the other day, that also heritage contribution to tourism is also something that we need to get our researchers. We are looking at partnering with the Human Science Research Council to get them to research that for us, to find out what's that contribution, because there's a significant contribution heritage that heritage makes towards tourism. We are working with the Department of Tourism as well, so that as they review their tourism strategy, they also look at heritage tourism. So it just confirms our belief that heritage does play a significant role in terms of nation building and social cohesion. I think members received a presentation from the Secretary General the other day. I think it was last year when we were here, on the contribution of arts culture on the GDP. But I think we really would appreciate if we could also just get a sense of how much heritage contributes to the GDP, and also specifically heritage tourism. The project in Bloemfontein is, as Dr. Mulder said, it's in the War Museum, and it's got a director of museum who is very passionate to talking.
Oh.
Yeah, was very passionate about the project. And I remember the sword turning, it was in around 2013, 2014, when the sword turning was done on this project, and by Minister was still Minister of Arts and Culture, was still Minister Mashatile. So it's a DAC-funded project, and perhaps the colleagues from the DAC can give members more information about it. It's a very beautiful project, and I remember the then Minister of Women, Minister Tungwana, was also part of that sword turning, because it also focused on women in concentration camps. It's a beautiful project, Chair. We've taken note, Chair, of the call for us to engage for the Chairperson to engage the Department of Arts and Culture, including the Minister, around ensuring that we really fulfill our mandate. It's clear in Section 36 of the Act what we need to do about those heritage sites, especially burial graves and grounds. And fortunately, our seniors from the Department of Arts and Culture are here. I would like to address the issue of there not being a corrective action to be taken. And we've noted the members that allude to the fact that it's a mischievous statement that we need to look into. Members would recall and know that this is a report of from the forensic auditor. So we are presenting it as it is, and we've taken the advantage of this process, so that at the end of our presentation, we are giving members a sense of what we plan to do going forward, having dealt with this report. My sense, Chairperson and Honourable Members, is that because there were no financial irregularities, I'm not talking on behalf of the forensic auditors, but when I read the report, the crux of the matter is that there was an MOU And MOU by its very nature is a memorandum of understanding, which then becomes broad. And you then drill it and zoom into what needs to be done by a service level agreement that is going to say, in this MOU, this is what we agree both parties we will do. If it was a memorandum of agreement, it would have had those specific deliverables and time frames and financial implications. But we believe that it needed to be followed with a clear, in the absence of the clear deliverables as alluded to by the forensic auditors, it needed to have an addendum that would spell out exactly what needed to happen. The report does say that there's an MOU that is entered into. However, then it's followed by an email that says these are the concentration camps that we will be looking into. So there is then an agreement upfront that there's an attempt of putting exactly what is it that is going to be looked into in a form of an email, which is which one would have expected to be formalized into a proper addendum that would say these are then the areas that would cooperate. And at the time of that addendum, when the colleagues received the email, there was then no, which is what I think needed to happen, there was then no confirmation of, yes, we agree that this is these are the concentration camps that you need to look at. And also look at the concentration camps, the list that is in the email, and say, no, we don't agree, we want you to add this and that. Also in the email that was sent, the report indicates that the email was also had a budget that was submitted on page 12 of the full report. It talks to the email that was sent and the budget, both 11 and 12, that was submitted. So there was an attempt to formalize the MOU with an agreement, but that never that was never taken to its conclusion. So this is my then interpretation of what is written in the forensic report. Hence, Honourable Chair and members, I'm not defending the forensic auditors. Hence, I think that is why they say they see that there is no corrective measures that can be taken, because it was a matter of administrative, ensuring that your administration is watertight, and that you are monitoring the delivery on the agreement.
I think what members are saying is that if there was no wrongdoing, that matter must not arise. It cannot say, because they are gone, we can't follow them for what? If there is nothing to follow them for. So I think the issue is about the statement. Accept what member has already raised, that she believes the information is incorrect. That's what she said. But the other members were saying the two statements cannot exist in the same document. So that matter should never arise. It actually, the conclusion was supposed to say, because there is no irregularity, there is therefore no reason to pursue the matter. I think that's an issue that members are raising.
I stand guided in terms of how we take the process, and because this is the report as it is, which we got from the forensic auditors,
and now it's your report. When you present it to us, you look when the forensic presents a report to you, you must study it. When you present it to us, you say, well, this is what they have said, but we are saying in view of what. Actually, no, when the forensic presents a report to you, you have to read it, and you must call them. But why do you raise this matter when there is nothing to follow? This report is exactly. So that they correct it. Because they can make a mistake. In this case, they have aired. They may have started with the last before they got into the body.
Okay.
So, and you, because now it raises the question that there's just something here. The standing of this investigation is suspect. So, and that's why it raises questions. Once you have information like this, it actually raises more questions that is there something is being hidden here. Because when you institute a forensic investigation, you obviously want to get the facts. But you can on, and indeed you should have, they shouldn't have raised that matter in the first place. They say, well, there is no, having done the, us as UBAC, having done the what you call, we have found no evidence of any wrongdoing, and therefore the need for actions against those is, it does not arise. I think that's the matter. So all we are saying is, for you to present, oh, now that you have accepted it as your report, when you bring it to us, you assign, you can then say, no, the forensic said, like we're saying now, that these people cannot be followed, but we are saying, well, from what they have said, there is no need for that matter to arise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we take this report and we present it to Parliament, and we say, no, this is, we can't take this report like this and send it to Parliament and say what you're saying, because we are contradicting ourselves. So perhaps between yourselves and DEC, you have to go and sort the matter out so that this matter does not form part of your report. It cannot be something that we have received, Tina, as Parliament as it stands. But the matter is not, we are not done with the matter, because members are asking or requesting that they also want to see the MOU, and they would like to know as to who actually crafted that MOU for us. So, yeah, I think those, so you step off that matter, you can deal with the rest of the other things. Sorry. I got interrupted by my coffee here. I've been missing it.
Thank you, Chairperson. We've noted that, and we'll action as we are guided. We've got the MOU, Chairperson, and we will provide the committee with the MOU as Honourable Member Tolidi has requested. At the time, our MOUs and documents and contracts were not vetted by our legal unit. Perhaps the company secretary, who's the head of the legal, could even elaborate further on that matter. But what we do now is we are very strict in ensuring that whatever we appendix our signature on is something that has been also vetted by our legal unit. We do have a legal advisor that reports to the company secretary, who's the head of the legal unit, who assists us then, so that we never repeat these types of challenges, that we don't find ourselves in the same situation as this. And when we looked at the MOU as it stands, Chairperson, we will provide the committee with what we believe could have been strengthened in the MOU, because we have looked at it and we've also found areas that could have been strengthened. I will ask the CFO to respond to the Honourable Chairperson's question, why the forensic audit in the first place, and Mr. Zbaye will address the question of who are the Heritage Foundation, and the CFO will also address the question of how much was spent on the forensic audit. Chairperson, I think that would cover the questions. There was a question for Honourable Tolidi around the budget, 90% of operational and 10% for actual work, and perhaps that will also be attended to by the CFO. Thank you, Chair. With your permission.
And please feel free to have some questions.
the town will run out, but it's not meant for members. Thanks,
Chairperson. Honorable members, let me start with the reason why the forensic investigation was commissioned. In 2011-2012, SARA received a disclaimer opinion from the Auditor General, and the matter came to the Portfolio Committee and was discussed. The outcome of that was that SARA must institute a forensic investigation. And when we came in 2013, that's when the forensic investigation was instituted. During the investigation, because there were payments that were made for the construction, erection of the memorials that we normally do as part of our mandate, the investigator then came across the black concentration camps that were never done. Now, as they were digging further, they then realized that with the funds that were given to the Heritage Foundation, it would seem the focus was more on the white concentration camps. And hence, at that point, the then CEO requested an investigation to look at where the focus of the MOU was. And that triggered a separate investigation completely just on this MOU. It was never the initial intention to investigate this MOU, but it came as a byproduct of the bigger forensic investigation that was done in the organization. Now, the bigger investigation was about 1 million. I think that's 1 million, yes. Then for us to take this Heritage Foundation, there was an additional amount of around 167,000, I'll just confirm that, which was just to focus on this MOU as an additional request to the service provider. That's what was paid for the entire process. We had the entire department, the forensic report, which was separate from this Heritage Foundation. In terms of the budget that is then reflected here, I think my colleague can explain more. The nature of the work that had to be done on the concentration camp is labor intensive, and which suggests that they had to get people who will clean, who will mow the lawns, who will repair the memorials and all those things. That is why we have a bigger expenditure being under salary.
Thank you, Chair. The Heritage Foundation is a conservation body that then works on heritage conservation. Because of their expertise when it comes to restoring heritage sites and memorials and grave sites, we then felt that we should work with them because they do have those expertise to assist SARA because we didn't have enough capacity.
No. That information is not sufficient.
Who?
Give more details, not what.
As I said, it's a conservation body. Formerly, it used to be the Fort Drecker Monument Movement, which was then the CEO was General Opperman. Now, then later on, they then changed to Heritage Foundation. And as I said, that it's a body that has been working closely with the then National Monuments Council, and then when SARA was established, they continue to work with us. Because, as I said, they have the expertise when it comes to restoring and conserving heritage resources. They are based in Pretoria. Their head office is the Fort Drecker Monument in Pretoria.
There's a problem. Now I must read these things properly because you see, you instituted a commission, an investigation. And the investigation was about why there was no attention given to the preservation of the black graves.
This body that you gave money to concentrated on white grapes and not black grapes. Now, I asked the question, and in your answer you say no. They are experts in the preservation. But in this case, they did not preserve as expected. And you are saying it very happily that they are experts in that field, but they did not do the expert work that was expected. Unless if you are saying, no, well, the resources that we made available were inadequate for them to carry out that responsibility. But I find it very strange that attention was given to white grapes and not to black grapes by the same entity. And we are fine and we are happy, hug and kiss and so on and so on. No, it cannot be right. I think the issue, and because I asked the question, why was there a forensic in the first place? And you then said members of parliament resolve on that matter because they saw this problem and you've not resolved the problem up to now. So SARA has not done what it is supposed to be doing. It's a problem. And now, and the forensic did not do what it was supposed to do. And who is this forensic? Because they now concentrated, and that's why I think members already makes an issue, and indeed when she raised the issue, I actually in a way listened to her. I put it at the back of my mind, but I could not put the pulse, my finger on the pulse of what she's saying. But I think the issue that she raised is actually very important. So the things that we have in front of us here are not helping us. Both the report and the forensic is not taking us forward. I am very disappointed with this, everything that is in front of us. You did not carry out, if we can go back and check the minutes, and Jabu, I would want you to bring to the committee the minutes and the decision of that portfolio. The likelihood is SARA did not take into account the issues that the portfolio committee raised. Because to me, the issue that the query came about because of the audit finding, adverse or whatever it was, and therefore forensic, it does not gel. But what I am able to pick up from listening to your answers is that the portfolio committee was concerned about what was supposed to have happened, what did not happen. And what had not happened has not even happened. And in the reports that we are getting here, as much as you are trying to tell us how you want to resolve the matter, and with the partnership that you have with that body, with expertise, that you are so happy and passionate to talk about, it's not going to take you where you are supposed to be going. This outsourcing by entities has been raised as a serious problem, and it will continue. Why are you SARA when you don't have the necessary means to carry out that responsibility? How can you exist to outsource your work, your core responsibility? Deck, personally, I am unhappy with what I see in front of this committee on this matter. Member Solidi.
Honorable Mashango,
you have said a lot of things, really, because one would want to engage with the report, but unfortunately we can't engage if the situation is like this. Which then I would really necessarily want us to propose that we need to get those documents as soon as possible and we engage with them. What we need to engage with and understand. Whether it's a service level agreement, you can name it, whether it's a memorandum of understanding, whatever that has been, transactions that have been going on between the two organizations. We did that with Freedom Park and Ford Trekker. And at the end of the day, the situation was solved amicably, and both institutions are working very well because they didn't hide the information. Both institutions made the presentation to these honorable members. We engaged with them, and the situation has solved. But with this one, it's like there's a lot of information. We can't necessarily really engage on the issue while the information is not, all of it is not here with us. There's a point that the CEO raised that one of the reasons why they instituted this forensic is because of a disclaimer that they got. And I understand a disclaimer. There are issues that have been raised for you to get to a disclaimer. We also want to get to be privy to that information contained in that report that says this has become a disclaimer because of 123. You won't get a disclaimer unless there is a financial misappropriation. Whoever has done it, whether it's the person who is implementing it on your behalf or it's yourself, but there is something that we really need to understand here. The other thing they are saying, they didn't specify that the graves, the black or white graves, but the important thing, which is a key word, is the concentration camps. Immediately you put that, we give you to go and restore concentration camps, then it tells you that all the camps that we have in South Africa, because we don't have a color. Why do we have to have a color when the people are not living? Why, when we are living, we say we are all South Africans, we are a rainbow nation. But now when we have to implement that, now we say this one is black, this one is white, that one is brown, that one is purple. Yet we are preaching that we are all South Africans, we don't see any color while we are living. Then when we are dead, then we begin to do that. No, that's really not sitting well with some of us. Because the issue is all the concentration camps should restore them. There were those that were already there. Even if they were struggling to get the black concentration camps. But it's also interesting because after they've instituted, why are they struggling now? They begin to get them. They could have got them if they wanted to. If they wanted to, they could have looked for them. I don't know how. I'm not an expert in that field, but experts do know about that. Really, we need a lot of information here. To some of us, it's a pain. Maybe to them, it's just something that is that is very light. But for me, where I'm sitting, it's a pain. That's why I'll go back and always refer to the one that is in Bloemfontein, because it really brings back the pride of this nation. It talks to what we are preaching every day, the one that is in Bloemfontein. So why can't we do it everywhere? Do the same thing. Because for all the wars, people died. People died. I'm not going to say color of people, but people died in all the wars. It doesn't matter. People that are in that land died. You can go in any country. When there's war, people in that country will die. It doesn't matter whether it's short or tall or fat or lean, but people died and would want to know about that history. That's a history that is very important. Really, Chairperson, I think they really need to give us the whole information. The whole information, not in pieces that they are giving us.
Have you ever been to Bloemfontein? You know what is supposed to be happening? So you know what is supposed to be happening. You know the right thing. But we perpetuate the wrong. There is an example. Why are we continuing with the wrong? I don't know. Someone was still going to come, but Lena, Ngrani Yegeni, Lei, Pumile Njengeleni, we will need more information. I'm sure the department is listening. We are very unhappy. We are an unhappy bunch of people if the Minister of Sports was around. Someone wanted to come in. Madam, is it the lady? Okay, you.
Thank you, Chair. I just thought I need to add on the disclaimer so that I take you through the journey. Perhaps what was requested was the Heritage Foundation report. We were instructed to commission a forensic investigation based on the outcome of the AG report, which had a lot of things like assets that went missing, supply chain that was not followed, and all these things happened at a time where SARA was extremely dysfunctional. There was no CEO, there was no CFO, there was no HR executive. SARA was going through a period that was during the devolution of functions to the Provincial Heritage Resource Agency. And when you look back and reflect on what had happened then, there was no cooperation from staff. It was extremely dysfunctional. And when the AG stepped in to do their audit, they had no one to work with. And hence, the report, even in the media, there were all these stories about SARS. And the portfolio committee was not happy at that stage. And when it was reported that 10 million worth of assets went missing, they commissioned that forensic investigation. Now, we were then reminded to say by the portfolio committee, we are waiting for the forensic investigation on the disclaimer report of the Auditor General. And that is the forensic investigation that was commissioned. It was a report, a very thick report, talking on the supply chain processes of the organization and all the issues that were raised in the Auditor General's report. As part of that investigation, which was commissioned by Parliament, the Portfolio Committee, then that's when it was brought to the attention of the then acting CEO that as we were investigating this part, we came across all these concentration camps that were never attended to. And hence, the extension of that investigation to say, okay, once you are looking at this report that is required by the portfolio committee, can you zoom into these camps so that we can also at the same time understand what is happening? And the issue is of the black camps is because as you go and visit these camps, you'll find that historically, some of them were separated, and were separated by a railway line. So you'd find the white concentration camp on the one side, the black concentration camp on the other side. And it is a historic problem where the white concentration camps were taken care of all the time, and that's why they are easily identifiable. What could have happened in this instance is that we never had proper project managers or researchers internally to research before the MOU could have been entered with the Heritage Foundation. Now, in the absence of the leadership on what the Heritage Foundation was supposed to do, the Heritage Foundation went ahead because they are those that they know they are identifiable, which they worked on. And then they conducted a research. And that is the research that was given to SARA now to say, we have done a research. This is where you can find the most of the black concentration camps. At that stage, SARA did not have a budget to then move ahead and follow from where the Heritage Foundation stopped. So I just wanted to put clarity that there is a detailed report on the disclaimer. And unfortunately, when Parliament called us, they just called us on the Heritage Foundation investigation.
Okay, one thing is, I think then we will have to go back. We will have to go back as a portfolio because this is a very important aspect of our history and heritage. We cannot allow it to fall into the cracks. I think the department will have to make sure that we get all the relevant information that is going to assist this committee to be on course But what I would expect from SARA is a way forward and the timeline so that these historic imbalances are brought to equity, for lack of a better word. Because indeed, we can look back and moan and what have you, it's not going to help us. We need to know as to what SARA's plan is to correct the situation and what will it take from the experts that you have, from the relationship that you have with that entity, with expertise, Heritage Foundation, whatever, with the proper MOU monitored, whatever, and also tell us why you don't have enough in-house capacity. Are you not supposed to have that? Because, we cannot have this thing unresolved for life. SARA must tell us as to when we will have the Bloemfontein state of a situation in all these areas where there are all these disparities, and what will it take? Someone else? There was a lady, she was going to come in. Were you supposed to be coming in as well?
Yes, I'm covered now, sir.
Okay, yes. We are not excused,
Monica. She's got matters that she has to deal with.
Yes, madam, you on the floor?
I'm covered, sir.
Okay. But,
so it's not my fight and it's not my argument, so I don't want to get in. I just want to put some facts on the table to show why it's so complicated. I visited a lot of these concentration camps because of my history. My grandmother was in Meerbank, so I visited that as well. And I think the reality is very complicated. The camp site, the concentration camp, is not necessarily where the graves are. The graves are somewhere else. So you first must say this with the camp, no, this is a factory or whatever. So the camps are gone, most of them. Then you try to get where the graves were. And then the British didn't want it as well. So it's a long fight between even the Afrikaners and the British, because it was important for them to also destroy it as far as possible on those sites. I might tell a story. My grandmother, my brother died. She was 16 years old. He was 2 years old. He died. And when he was buried, she had to put a little bottle. She told me that I stole a person, put his name in on top of the grave, because the British didn't want to identify the grave, so that she can show her father where the brother is. So after the war, they went back and looked in all the different places to get the bottle where the grave is, to say this is where the brother was buried. But because of the Afrikaner-British fight, that became an issue, and they were looked after these graveyards. But the black camps were ignored. And most of those graves are also on a separate place. So I think the first problem is there's no graves at the moment to look at. You must first discover that. And that makes it so difficult. Now, what these people did, they did for the first time now research where the camps are. So now you can start looking for graves in the second phase and second phase. So we sit with the historical situation of the past. That complicates the issue. I don't say it's right or wrong. I said these are the facts at the moment. But I said for the last 10 years, I think we started moving. They identified their camps that were never identified before. Tukrus, Kurgsdorp, etc., and now you can start looking. Are there graves? Where are the graves? Are there anything left there? Because as I said, from our side, we had a long history trying to rectify that. One example, at Kurgsdorp, there was a monument erected. The British took all the stones and things there and threw it in the Vaal River to destroy the Afrikaner monument. That's history. That's politics. That's and in 1980-something, I was part to get those stones out of the Vaal River back to Kurgsdorp, still fighting the British at that stage. But let's see how far we get. If the department gives some money behind it, and then surely we can get closer to equity as in Bloemfontein. But I just want to say it's not that easy, unlikely, because of our history.
Well, you can employ him.
I'll retire here and I'll help him there.
Any other matter that colleagues would like to raise? Shalom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, honourable members. I've listened to all the issues that was raised by the honourable members, and I've realised that as a new chairperson for SARA, I have a big job ahead of me, especially with regards to the issue of the concentration camp. Mr. Chairperson, I've heard Dr. Grootboom said that we need proper management and proper leadership in the entities, and that task is resting on my shoulders as the chairperson for SARA, and I intend doing exactly that, giving leadership to the SARA administration, and also provide the necessary information to the department. That is my intention. Mr. Chairperson, we need approximately 1 month to come back with a proper report that contains all the necessary information that was requested from us today, and maybe even more information that was not disclosed today. If you would kindly allow us to please prepare that report for you, we will do it and present it within the next month.
I think it's fair. The committee grants you the right. Give that leadership like Madam Clinton is going to give leadership to America. Let's do away with the Donald's, McDonald's, Trump. Give the leadership, and I think we'd appreciate if you take that, Madam Chair. And we appreciate that you are here, because at the end of the day, it is you who is an accountable authority. I think that's where we will end our engagement with SARA. And there's an item number 5. Item number 5, colleagues, I don't know. It's here on the agenda, but looks like we're not going to deal with it. The reason why what I call had to be called to another meeting is because the department and our internal people, legal people, need to sort out their issues so that they present. Looks like they're coming from different angles. So I think they'll have to sort out the matter and then finally come back to ourselves. Baba, do what you like.
No, it's okay, Chair, because I also don't see the report on which we are going to be briefed.
We wanted it. So it has asked for me to
wanted it, but they've requested to go and sort out the MS between the two. You know that it's a matter that we said we want. It remains on our radar screen until it is resolved. In the absence of any other matter, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
I don't know, I don't mind.